to discuss some of these changes and to just get some of our ideas and input on this. And we really like the flexibility that this offers and the amendment changes would offer to us. And we're not really locked into anything. Obviously, we don't know what we're developing, if we are going to develop anytime soon. So I just wanted to testify and state that please pass this. It allows us the most flexibility for future development.
Good morning. I'm Steve Fossler. I am an architect in Portland, 720 Southwest Ankeny. I'm not a property owner, but I represent a developer property owner for two of the blocks that face Pettigrove, and we have a 150-unit studio apartment project under construction on Pettigrove between 14th and 15th. Yeah. So we are eager for these standards to be adopted. We were not thrilled by the current standards as they applied to our project because we viewed our project as activating the sidewalk, and we needed more than 12 feet of sidewalk for the activities that we have. We are very strongly in favor of these amendments. My client also owns the property between 14th and 13th, which has the office building that has Icebreaker in it. So this, we would also do improvements at the same time. So two blocks will be constructed this summer to these standards. We are very pleased with the process that has happened. All the property owners have been involved. We've actually been motivated and motivating and have worked closely with the Neighborhood Association, and I believe we've reached mutual goals very quickly. And also my compliments, my commendation to Mauricio for holding this all together. It's been very difficult for him to approach all of the city bureaus that are involved. He's been very successful and very diligent. Without that, we would still have a plan and not a reality. Finally, I want to mention that for our particular projects, we are going for option C, which maximizes the pedestrian width of the sidewalk and has no parking on our sides. That's a conscious choice by my client. And I want to reinforce that this is being chosen and encourage you to, if there's any pushback within certain bureaus about not having parking on a certain block face, that you're okay with that. We are okay with that. The neighborhood is okay with that. And it's part of the standards. So again, thank you for this process and for adopting this. We are very excited to be constructing it within 6 months.
Wow, that's great.
Which developers are you representing, please?
It's two entities. One is Freedom Center LLC, and the other is Overton Pearl LLC. They have developed five or six small projects throughout that part of the neighborhood.
And it's you and I talked in passing one day. Is it sort of the innovations in terms of your design for sometimes difficult sites to make pencil? Is it along those lines?
Yes. This is 150 units on a half block. They're studio apartments. It's truly a bicycle-oriented development. We have 175 bicycle parking spaces built into the project. There's no on-site parking. It's transit and bicycle and pedestrian dependent, oriented to students and downtown workers, entry-level workers.
Good work. Thank you. Not surprising from you, but still.
Thank you.
Worth recognizing again. Thank you. Unless there's anyone else that wishes to testify, can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Well, thank you all for your good work. It has indeed been 7 years, and I was on the Planning Commission when we were discussing green streets with the Northwest District Plan, and streets do cross neighborhoods, and they provide the connections, and this one is going to be a very wonderful visual and experiential way of connecting the two neighborhoods. So thank you for your work on it. I particularly appreciate that it provides options and that the notation that it's the investment to the city has been Mauricio's great work in putting together this plan. From now on, it'll be private investment that will actually be getting it built. And so it is a win-win for the taxpayers as well as for the neighbors and the developers. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
I love the three standards. Thanks for the presentation. And Patty, thank you for mentioning the fields. We will be doing a groundbreaking in March, and you've been a steadfast supporter, and it will be the third great park in a sequence, and we hope we'll also continue to leverage development in that area, and I think it will be a great complement for the family-friendly housing that Ed McNamara put in a few blocks away. So thanks for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Great work. These are great design standards, and
I'm glad to hear about some pending development. We appreciate that as well. Aye.
Leonard.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Fields has a loo planned for it as well. So we appreciate that. Thank you. Never stop selling.
You have to vote.
Aye.
Oh, okay.
Adams.
I want to, in addition to thanking the great participation of the stakeholders that testified, I want to thank the great staff team that I have the honor to work with. This is really fantastic, and I appreciate your relentlessness in trying to always improve upon our last best effort. So thank you. Aye. So approved. That gets us to, that did the emergencies, right? Do we have any more emergencies?
No.
Okay. Then we'll go back to, can you please read the title for resolution item number 89?
Address process for developing appropriate data regarding communities of color in Portland.
Is there staff here to address this issue? Okay, I think I'm supposed to talk about this issue, aren't I? Which I'm behind on my talking points. Okay. So the emerging vision from the Portland Plan is to ensure that all Portlanders have access to high-quality education, jobs, safe neighborhoods, a healthy natural environment, efficient public transit, parks, green spaces, decent housing, affordable housing, and healthy food. Assuring equity and equal opportunity is a priority of City of Portland and Multnomah County, along with all the Portland Plan partners, which I think number about 27 in terms of local governments. We need reliable data to evaluate the effects, sort of serve as a baseline for the work of the Office of Equity and Human Rights Commissioner Fritz has been heading up. Gave you a promotion there, didn't I?
No, thank you.
Is before council for your blessing and consideration to participate in this effort take what we know are the strengths and weaknesses of the U.S. Census and to apply the known distortions that exist in a census collecting process of this nature. And we know that there are undercounts and overcounts that can be statistically validated, but we want to validate them not on a nationalized basis, but for our local set of data. And so this, along with my colleague, Chair Jeff Colgan, is a baseline effort on which further work of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, but also will serve as the baseline for developing standards of success for all of our work will be judged. We are not the first community to work on this in New England. Boston has helped sort of lead the efforts on this, and I think it is in keeping and in faith to our efforts to make Portland truly prosperous for everyone, healthy for everyone, and equitable for everyone. So that's what's before you today.
So moved.
All right. Anyone wish to testify? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Well, thank you, Mayor, and your staff for your work with this on this, and particularly for the Coalition of Communities of Color, who have been pushing and working with us throughout the work on the creation of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. This is an early implementation item, which is, as the mayor mentioned, citywide. It's wanting to be able to use this to get the correct data so that when we're looking within all of the bureaus at benchmarks and at measurements that we have an agreement on the numbers that we're using and recognizing that the numbers in the U.S. Census have some biases that we can correct locally. So greatly appreciate the mayor and his chief of staff, Warren and Kelly Ladd, who have been taking the lead on this, working with the city attorney's office and with the Office of Management and Finance. And it's an example of how each of the commissioners and the mayor on the council needs to be involved in this equity work and thinking about things in a different way. Aye.
Fish?
Last year, I had the honor of co-chairing the Complete Count Committee with County Commissioner Deborah Cafori, and the goal was to make sure that we got a complete and honest count in connection with the census. And the reason we did that is that First of all, there's a lot of money at stake. If you get the count right, a lot of the federal funding is based on formula, and population is a key component. So for every additional person that you count, there's a significant benefit economically to our community in federal funds. Second, we know historically that some groups are harder to count than others, and there have been we know that with homeless individuals, we've historically undercounted. We know that with the Native American community, there's been historic undercounts. And, you know, without good data, you can't really chart the course of how you're going to move forward. So we did our best. We fell a little short last year. Had our count been even more robust, we might have picked up an additional congressional district for Oregon, which would have given us more clout in Washington. But that's for another day. This work is very important, and I'm pleased that the Office of Equity, the mayor, and Commissioner Fritz have made getting good data a cornerstone of the policy work to follow. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Would you have brought Adams.
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her continued efforts on this. I want to thank Cully Ladd and Lisa Libby in my office and the great team at the Bureau of Human Relations, including Kathleen Sadat. Thanks for your help on this. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 90?
A just date for the Portland Police Chief's report on the Portland Police Bureau's work with the Federal Bureau of Investigation Joint Terrorism Task Force.
So basically, I need more time, so I want till the end of February to get this done. I know that the first report sort of sets a precedence for reports to come, and I want to make sure that it's done well. So given everything else I'm working on, I need some additional time. Anyone signed up to testify?
We have one person, Dan Handelman.
Mr. Handelman. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Mayor Adams. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, but I'm going to be reading a letter that I sent to all of you yesterday. It's signed by Portland Cop Watch, the ACLU of Oregon, Martin Gonzalez from the Portland School Board, League of Women Voters, Portland JACL, Portland National Lawyers Guild, and the Arab Muslim Police Advisory Council. So to the mayor and council and to the chief, in late April last year, the council adopted a resolution outlining its understanding of how the Portland Police Bureau will, in limited circumstances, cooperate with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. Part of that resolution declared that the chief will present an annual report to council every year in January. The mayor has proposed a resolution giving the chief until the end of February to present the report. We, the signers of the letter, request the report be released in draft form at least 2 weeks prior to any formal presentation to City Council to allow public input. We continue to urge the city to fulfill the promise of that part of the resolution to ensure transparency and to assure the people of Portland that our officers are in compliance with state and federal laws regarding gathering information for legitimate criminal investigations. In addition to the 5 points outlined by the ACLU of Oregon in their testimony to Council and repeated in their June 24 letter, we request an update on the security clearance status of the mayor, chief, and officers or supervisors in the Bureau who are working with the JTTF. So these are the 5 points made by the ACLU that should be included in the report. Non-confidential details regarding the steps taken to ensure Portland Police personnel comply with Oregon laws and any requests Portland Police personnel made to city attorney, including the number of consultations and types of issues raised, and the action taken as a result of such consultations. The number of investigations, the types of investigations, and what stage Portland officers were asked to work with the FBI. The annual number of hours and officers participating. The number of briefings made by the FBI to the chief of police and the commissioner in charge. And then how often terror alert information was shared with city officials. In addition, the ACLU requested, in determining how well the resolution worked, the city should interview all Portland police personnel working with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force to better understand any issues or problems that arose, especially around compliance with Oregon laws. It is still a great concern to our organization that the city's resolution uses a vague, legally meaningless status to allow Portland officers to work with the JTTF, the so-called criminal nexus standard. Council heard from dozens of organizations and individuals, including their own Human Rights Commission, about the concerns of the PPB working with the FBI, yet passed a resolution which reawakened a relationship we understood was more or less terminated in 2005. In addition, it's not clear there's any meaningful civilian oversight and accountability for officers working with the JTTF. So if the Bureau is reengaging with the task force, the least the city needs to do is fulfill its promise of an annual report to the public.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to testify? All right, Carla, would you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fritz?
So thank you. I found that list of the things you'd like to see in the report helpful. I thank you for bringing that on behalf of the other organizations. Since it will be a report, I don't know that we'll be needing to adopt it at the first hearing, so I don't leave it to the mayor in terms of whether it's a draft report.
You can take your seat, sir.
So I appreciate taking the time to get it right. I do ask about this in my monthly briefings with Chief Reese. I appreciate the fact that we now know what the JTTF is doing, whereas previously we didn't have as much information as we do now on what they're doing. So I appreciate the extra time, and I look forward to the report coming to Council. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm fully in support of delaying the report and time to get it right. But I do want to point out that during our discussion and adoption of this resolution, I don't believe any member of Council endorsed specifically the ACLU request of what goes in the report. And in fact, I would probably, and I think others would object to all this information being in an annual public report. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
I want to thank Clay Neal and Amrit Sandu for their work on this in my office. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for item number 93, which is a procurement report?
Accept bid of Stellar J Corporation for the Ankeny Pump Station Upgrade Project for $6,283,657.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $6,283,657, which is 15% below the engineer's estimate. The city identified 18 divisions of work for subcontracting opportunities, resulting in $2,384,728 awarded to subcontractors. Minority and women and emerging small business participation on this project at the bid time was 1.46%. The electrical and instrumentation portion of this project was in excess of $2.1 million, of which there were no MWSB contractors available to do this work. This left about $285,000 for other subcontracting opportunities. Since the bid opening, Stellar J has worked with us on finding additional opportunities for MWSB firms in traffic control, concrete cutting, air quality monitoring, drywall and metal studs, and tile work, bringing the MWSB subcontracting participation at the first tier level up to 4.9%. Mark Hutchinson from Environmental Services is here to answer any technical questions about the project, and Bob Kinghorn from Stellar J is also in the audience. I'll turn this back over to Council.
All right, any discussion from Council? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? This is a procurement report and requires a motion to approve.
I move to approve the procurement report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to approve the procurement report, item number 93?
Fritz.
Thank you, Director Moody, for your ongoing efforts to increase the minority women's emerging small business. It's still really low, and I am looking forward to continuing to work with you on that challenge. I do appreciate the bid coming in under estimate, and it says with optimal confidence level, so I hope that that doesn't indeed pan out. Aye.
Saltzman?
I also appreciate the bid coming in under our estimate and also the $6 million that will be invested in our local economy to complete this project. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you.
Adams?
Great work. Thanks. Aye. So approved. And can you please read the title read the title and call the vote for second reading, item number 95.
Extend the City 2008-2012 Equal Employment Opportunity Affirmative Action Plan for one additional year to June 30, 2013. Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Thanks, Ms. Sadat. Aye. So approved. We are in recess till 3 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, at 3 p.m.
I'll be calling in.
Okay, great. Thanks.